CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, I wasn't pretty excited this one day to Friday. And today is St. Patrick's Day.
Oh.
Ah. You know you're working too hard in life when you go, oh, okay, today is, and then it's St. Patrick's Day. You know, like, when you're young and you drink a hell of a lot, and you've got very little to do other than just find out where you're drinking a lot, you're like, you put so much effort into these things. Like, you plan things weeks in advance. You've got people you don't know normally come into your house. Do you miss those days?
When I was drinking a lot? Oh, yeah, I do.
You know, like that carefree kind of stuff. Like, people always say, these are the best years of your life. And then you get older, and then they go, no, actually, being young sucks. It's such a, like, it's like this endless debate you have with yourself, because you try to justify getting older being okay, but deep down, you do actually kind of miss those days.
Yeah, this is true, because as you get older, you realize that this adulting thing is complete rubbish, and it was all a big lie, and your parents didn't even bother to tell you, to warn you and say, listen, this thing is a lie, and you're going to hate it.
Yep. So maybe we should be using days like St. Patrick's Day to kind of reconnect to that kind of stuff, realize we live in the lie, and just get hammered. I know that's not a responsible way of looking at things, but...
But, I mean, being young is not about being responsible. So, exactly. for one day, we can do it.
But then we wake up tomorrow morning and we regret it.
Okay, Michael, maybe we are the bad examples here, because waking up at 4:30 sucks. Okay?
Yeah.
Other people who are like
If this. I woke up at 8 o'clock every morning, my Thursday nights, my Tuesday nights, my Wednesday nights, and my Monday nights would be very different.
Yeah, I was thinking the same last night, because, like, I never get to watch Champions League football, right?
Quiz night Wednesdays, quiz night Thursday.
Champions League football is like 10 o'clock during the week.
Yeah.
So I watch 10 minutes of that, I'm like, screwed the next morning.
Oh, wow.
God, it's so sad.
It's rough. It's rough, isn't it?
I'm finding a whole new way of navigating this adulting thing. So, you know...
Well, you haven't got there yet, Sia. So, obviously, going forward's a new way for
you. It's like the first little step. So, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I experienced my first official hangover. This week, I officially drank wine out of a tumbler. Because, you know what? Screw being classy. And then after that, I think I had wine at, like, 8:30. And then I had, like, another glass at, like, 9-ish. And then I had drunk through, like, 3/4 of the bottle. All alone, mind you. And my head kind of felt heavy. I passed out on the couch. I woke up the next morning at, like, 4. I literally had the best sleep of my life. So I'm not condoning alcoholism out there. But I'm just saying, for us to have to wake up early.
That sounds like the start of it.
But it is important to mention that you are 3 years old. And so your body can still handle, you know, basically being used as a punching bag every time you drink.
But you pass out.
10 years from now, Sia, you are going to be feeling completely different when you do the same thing.
At your age, your body doesn't remember or hold any grudges. Mm-mm. At my age, at 34, I have a few beers. The body's like, oh, a few beers, huh?
Why do you constantly think your body hates you?
Because that's what happens.
Because that's what happens when you age. Your body turns on you and it reminds you who's really in charge. Oh. And it's not you, it's the body.
This is so optimistic. There's so much to look forward to growing up.
There really is. If you want to be excited about being old, just chat to Babs and I.
Listen, speaking about being excited, it is Thursday, which means it is the burning platform, which means Justice Malala is coming in this morning. And man, justice today.
We need justice like Trump needs Jesus. Wow.
I was driving into work this morning listening to someone saying, you know, I woke up this morning and I needed to do a double take to make sure that I'm still waking up in South Africa, the Republic of South Africa, and not the Republic of Gupta. So it's going to be flaming hot today with justice this morning. There is so much to analyze, to unpack, so many questions to ask him. So be sure that you don't miss this morning's session of The Burning Platform.
Yeah, I've got a new ritual. If you ever want to find out why things are trending on Twitter, go to Google, type in rant dollar. if it's suddenly around 16, shit's hitting the fan. So yesterday, I just went onto Twitter. I was looking for cricket things. And then I just saw, like, Sukta this and, you know, Umbalula that. And I thought, okay, damn, these things are trending. It was like 16.10 to the dollar, right?
Yeah.
And now I see it's 15.66. Things have calmed down a bit. But it's just crazy how when things start going bad, it's like our economy just goes, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Just gets punched in the nuts every time things happen with us.
Yeah, and we can get more into that with Anthea a little later in this hour. Because Moody's are in town, right?
Yeah.
So apparently everybody is nervous now because they're thinking, this is the last thing that we needed. It's for this political saga to unfold right now when Moody's are in town.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We've got plenty of questions for Anthea as well. And if you're wondering where Gareth is this morning, because usually we've been starting the first hour of the shows with him throughout the week, he is in transit, right, Flex? He's flying, he's on a plane at this very moment.
He's got so many layovers and so many flight connections to make. I think he flies to New York, then to Abu Dhabi, then to South Africa.
Yeah, so that's why Gareth is not joining us this morning, and he won't be able to join us tomorrow morning either for the same reason. So Gareth will officially be back on the show with you on Monday.
Who did you say was in town?
Moody's, the credit ratings agency.
Basically, they're here to decide if we're junk or not.
Yeah.
They know we're junk.
From overseas, of course.
But they're just doing all the due processes or whatever it is.
Yeah. Well, look, we'll get Anthea to, you know, to delve more into that whole stuff.
Break it all down.
So basically, for today, no matter what you do in this country, look like you're busy. Just look like you're doing something that's going to make this economy go up.
Yeah.
So no matter what you're doing, if you're driving a bus, if you're teaching children like Play-Doh things, whatever it is, you never know who's watching you.
Yes,
junk. We don't want to be junk.
No, we really we
kind of are.
We don't want to be downgraded. We just simply don't.
So St. Patrick's Day, you know how it started?
No, actually. Would you like to take us back in time, Ben?
Yeah, I shall tell you about it in what may look like I've prepped this, but I'm actually just reading it. The March 17th celebration started in 1631 when the church established a feast day honoring St. Patrick. He had been patron saint of Ireland, who had died around the 5th century, a whopping 12 centuries before the modern version of the holiday was first observed. But very little is known about who he actually was, according to Marion Casey, a clinical assistant professor of Irish studies at New York University. So there's a bit of a myth, like all these things, and ultimately it ends up in getting hammered.
Yeah,
that's what we do with history. So this St. Patrick, right? I mean, back when the Romans basically owned Britain, they went there and they just said, we own you now. It stems all the way back from then, basically. So St. Patrick was said to be like a slave that kind of had to then be taken to Ireland and then did heroic things there, blah, blah, blah. It's a lot going on.
But then commemorated with beer.
I suppose because
any excuse to drink, Sia. That's how humans are.
I mean, Cindy, who listens to us from Ireland, could confirm this. But basically, drinking is part of the culture in Ireland.
Mm.
It's not one of those things nowadays where, you know, like nanny states like England and Australia, you know, they frown upon mass indulgence like this. Ireland is like a rite of passage. If you're not getting drunk, you're not Irish. So if you're going to have a big day around it, then obviously drinking is going to be a huge part of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you've got any St. Patrick's Day celebrations or traditions that you want to share with us today, please feel free. Michael, what's the phone number?
1-55-0861-555-189.
Yes, we'll take your calls. Even though Gareth is not here, the show is exactly the same. It's just that, well, he's not here. That's the only difference. Otherwise, send your messages to WeChat or just tweet us at cliffcentral.com.
Last night, I went to go watch a play, and during the play, this one dude kept taking pictures on his phone.
Wait a minute. Whose idea was it to go and watch the play?
Me, no, it was mine. I went to go support a friend that was in the play.
Oh.
Oh, so it's not like being best boyfriend material.
No.
Okay. Oh. All right, so, carry on.
This one dude kept taking photos on his phone for about 30 minutes from the start of the play, and the dude behind him obviously kept getting irritated.
Yeah.
And he'd shout out words like, just shout out, turn off your phone, stop taking photos. Like, no one would know why he's shouting out these words. Next minute, you see this dude get up, grabs the Oak's phone mid-play, and throws it onto stage.
Uh-oh.
Oh, wow.
The biggest roar I thought was going to break out. Next minute, the dude turns around. There's a bit of fighting, bit of pushing. They go back to their seats, and then they start plotting. So I'm like, oh, my God, this play's going to be so good at the end when the lights come on. Next minute, these two oaks get up. There's, like, pushing, shoving. I'll fuck you up. I'll F you up. Like, and then it just took too long for any punches to get thrown. And I had to get to bed, so I left. But it was honestly the coolest thing ever. Mid-play, phone getting thrown on stage, nearly a fist fight.
Now, the beauty is supposedly theatre is all sophisticated and everyone is very classy and Upti doesn't do anything wrong. Look at this now. It's like little WWE in the middle of the whole performance.
This is just another example of a bunch of buffoons making their problems everyone else's problems and demanding that attention be on them. I mean, really, you're there to watch a play and then all of a sudden it has to be about you and your stupid cell phone and you threatening to throw a punch.
It's another Piers Morgan, basically.
It'd be really, that's what you're saying. What was the play?
It was called Dragging 30. It's a sort of a comedy. It has like two people in the play.
Well, I had four people last night. I mean, it'd be quite cool if that was actually the act.
Yeah, I thought you were going to reveal at the end that it was all part of the play. Like, it was a staged incident.
Experiential theatre or whatever they call
it.
But,
like, other people from the audience got involved in this fight, those who saw it. And, like, we were all waiting for the lights to come on at the end so this could escalate further.
So what? Did everyone leave and therefore, like, just envelop these people? Why didn't everyone just sit and go, okay, right, get on the stage?
So what happened was the two dudes got up and they started, like, quarreling and pushing each other. And the one dude's, like, boyfriend got involved and the other dude's boyfriend got involved. There was more fighting. Then it seemed like parents got involved. And then all the audience were watching. But then it took too long for a punch to be thrown. Mm. So people just started tearing off and going home.
Lost interest very quickly.
Yeah.
And, I mean, did the two people on stage kind of carry on with...
Yeah, they carried on. The phone was on stage the entire performance. Yeah, it was getting kicked around on stage, getting stepped on.
You see, in that moment, I think it's a wonderful opportunity for the actors to just kind of stop the play and then get off the stage and walk into the audience and then start talking to these guys and say, all right, so then what's this problem? How do we fix this? Let's get it over and done with so that we can go back and do our thing.
Exactly. I mean, that's what good actors should do.
No, you're there to work. You aren't there to possibly get a punch thrown in your face. You know, it's always the people who are trying to help who get caught in the crossfire. No.
Initially, this dude's iPhone's now being thrown on stage. He's pissed about that. Now he has to watch his iPhone getting trampled on and the potential of the screen getting broken for the remainder of the play.
That's brilliant. But again, the actors have the prime opportunity to, like, incorporate the phone into the act.
Yes. I would have kicked it off stage or something.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, you have it. You should support the local arts.
Yeah, definitely.
You really should.
You know, you were talking about St. Patrick's Day, right?
Yeah.
So while we're on the saints topic, Mother Teresa is now going to become a saint.
Ooh, I wonder what drinks you can have with that. She wasn't much of a drinker,
wine.
St. Patrick.
That's what she did.
She will be canonized as a saint on September the 4th.
Canonized?
That's very fancy words. I mean, in October of 2003, she was beatified. Which is apparently the beginning process of making someone a saint. I could have just butchered that completely. I'll probably have to look up the word to give you the proper definition. So yeah, in September she'll be canonized and she will officially be Saint Mother Teresa.
When did she pass away? Pardon my ignorance. It's been quite a while now.
Wasn't it the same year that Princess Diana died?
Yeah.
1997 then, because my mother went
my
crazy.
My candle in the wind knowledge.
Yeah, it was 1997.
Yeah, yeah.
So all of the time were they sitting there deliberating, who actually decides who gets to become a saint?
Look, I imagine that the church makes this a very intense and very big deal. Not just anybody can become a saint, and I imagine it's an entire process. A laborious process that they undertake, but
rather that than molesting children, so they can make as many saints as they want.
Yeah,
whatever's keeping them off the kids.
Isn't a saint the equivalent of an angel?
No. What?
That's what I thought it was.
What's the technical classification for an angel?
Because you get a saint, which is an angel, like a good person, and then a sinner, who's like the devil. Or have I butchered this?
Okay, let's get like the official
definition.
Like
sliced bra meat.
So what? Bry meat.
He's butchered it like sliced bry meat.
See, Michael, like a stand is something that can be given to someone. An angel is like a, it's like a whimsical kind of thing. Like, you know, they're angels, archangels. Sinners are just, well, humans.
So by saint, they mean she's like, she's pure, she's, she only yes. does good stuff like that.
Officially, yes, yeah. the definition of a saint is a person acknowledged as a holy or virtuous and regarded in Christian faith as being in heaven after death.
Preach, preach a son.
I
see,
know.
See, no, actually, no, Sia.
It was just Google.
No, but we should look to you to give us these answers because yeah. you are a preacher's son.
We should, but it's Google.
Okay,
I shouldn't have quoted.
Beatification is a recognition accorded by the Catholic Church of a dead person's entrance into heaven and capacity to intercede on behalf of individuals who pray in his or her name.
Oh, so you can now pray to Mother Teresa?
Yes.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Saint, yes. Saint Mother Teresa.
It's like unlocking a level in the game now.
Ah, you bet.
Saint Mother Teresa prayers have been unlocked.
Ow. Yeah, you see, I don't think you can, because, you know, she's credited with all the good work that she did for orphaned children in India.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't see people raising an ale to Mother Teresa in the same way that they do to St. Patrick, you know, on St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah,
I just don't see people raising their glasses in the same manner.
Communion wine, that's what they'll be raising.
Wine is fine.
Yeah, but no one's going to get dressed up for Mother Teresa. I mean, what are they going to do? Her fashion sense was pretty basic. You could say her sense was religious in fashion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, St. Patrick's Day, you can dress like a leprechaun, you can wear a lot of green.
You can dress slutty if you're a girl.
Yeah, Mother Teresa was a bit of, you know, white and blue.
Yeah.
She keeps it very simple.
Although she did get criticized for trying to convert a whole lot of people. Some people had issue with the fact that she was just an aggressive converter.
Really?
That she was just trying to convert people into Catholics here, there, and everywhere.
But that is kind of the faith, you know, it's like this missionary work. The reason you go into Africa and stuff.
Yeah.
Isn't because you want to feed people or show them the way.
No, it's because you want to convert them.
You want to show them the light, so to speak.
Yes.
You guys, speaking of which, have you seen this strange old man who stands on the corner of the road here?
Oh gosh, yeah, this is a bad story.
No,
which corner?
Single day. So basically, you know, like by the little shopping.
By the junction.
Yeah. He will stand there with pamphlets and he will hand it out to you as you walk past. Like, you know, Jesus is the answer. Praise, you know, you can be saved, you can be turned. And he, like, we make awkward eye contact every single day because I'm in my car. I feel like he's plotting, like, one day as soon as I see you walking.
What time is he there?
He's there from, like, the morning.
No, see, I've never encountered this guy, so I think it's all in your head. You're the only one who's seen him? Mm.
Maybe it's
your
a
head.
Vision of yours, yeah?
I think you're seeing dead people.
Do you think the heavens are calling me to be Saint Seer? Is that
what? Oh, please.
Definitely not. I mean, that's a stretch, and then there's a stretch.
You steal water from a church, you ain't no saint.
You guys, that happened ages ago. Let's let that go.
Well, have you replaced it?
Yeah. I don't think the big man upstairs has let it go, Sia. You stole water from your father's church.
Yeah, your religious balance sheet is not looking good right now.
Okay, can I tell you what happened last week since we're all already anti-Sia at the church? So, you know, our property is like literally in the same property as the church, but our house is sort of separated with a little like fence vibe. But sometimes these people who come to church park in our yard, which I feel is very like, it's kind of just this church parking, like, just don't come over to our side. But Friday night, I had to go home just to, like, change, and then I was going to go out again. But then there was some sort of service, and some people had blocked me, like, by parking in our yard. So I was like, but you guys, you know, like, I can't be getting Uber bills just because of you. So I had to go and walk in mid-service and ask people to, like, move the car.
So you interrupted the church service because you needed to go out and turn up.
Basically, three cars had to move to the same. So I think this is officially the fact that there's no Saint Seer coming anymore.
Yes, this is great.
Yeah, hopes are low. Hopes are very low. Just looking at the messages quickly, Roscoe says that
beatification. It's pronounced that way for some reason.
Beatification means. It's spelled beatification, but beatification. It sounds like I just. Beatification means we are sure you're in heaven and you're in line to be a saint, then you need two miracles by that person to be a saint.
Two
miracles? Jeez, this is a tough school of sainting, huh?
So you need to perform miracles.
Okay, well, according to Roscoe, so Mother Teresa did two miracles then at least?
But
one woman claimed she cured her stomach tumor. I read that.
Yeah, but then we're in TB Joshua territory now.
Yeah, because really, those kinds of things happen all the time. People being cured of ailments.
And another problem with having sort of like qualification rounds for sainthood, like everyone's going to want to do it. Oh, well, I cured whatever. Like, I solved Ebola. And then, you know, you get a congregation together and they're going to go, yeah, he did.
Mm.
Qualification rounds. Can we stop making these gaming analogies?
Sorry, Sia, I'm quite a one-dimensional person. Thanks, Roscoe. Beatification. If you're up for that, well, there you go. You need to be very, very saintly in life and perform two miracles. See, it would be a miracle today if we could get something really negative out of Justice Malala, wouldn't it?
I
was also slightly mind-flown by what he said.
Yeah. So that's happening at 7 o'clock this morning, the Burning Platform. Mm-hmm. And I did say it's going to be extra hot this morning.
It's going to be so hot. I was just looking through stories this morning, whether it be sport or whatever.
Oh, my gosh.
And it's just like yesterday went into meltdown of the lowest vote of no confidence for the ANC.
Oh my gosh.
But the great thing about social media is that you've still got those apologists who have been towing this ANC line for so long. This line is getting so heavy now that they're battling to actually pick it up.
And then you had the opposition leaders yesterday who made, you know, they took advantage of the opportunity all ran center stage and every single one of them wanted to be heard. I mean, on the one side you had the DA saying, yeah, no, you see. And then on the other side, you had the EFF saying, but we told you Zupta must fall. Yeah. So it's basically turned into a boxing ring at this stage. The Guptas apparently now threatening all kinds of legal action against this ABC Jonas guy. So, yeah, it's all going to be revealed with Justice Malala just after 7 o'clock this morning.
Well, NN7, their news channel. Oh. Yes. It's their news channel.
Yes, yes.
They obviously broke a story of how these just allegations, it's false claims of this kind of stuff going on. It's so, you know exactly what's going on. This is the whole thing. Like, it's so brazen, this corruption and this general dodginess.
Mm.
But it's always like, nope, it didn't happen.
It did not happen.
I'm just going to lie to you. Do you want some more lies? Here's another lie, another lie, another lie.
That's what I don't understand. How can you actually justify this? How in their books will they be able to string something together and say, no, it's not what you think it is?
Look, we've seen just how many lives the president within the ANC organization has, and we've determined that he has more lives than a cat. So it is going to be interesting to see how they work this one.
When you create your own reality, everything like this is totally fine.
Yeah.
They're living in their own world. It's like, okay, the Guptas are really rich and Zuma is really corrupt. Put the two together and you do create your own funny little world.
So I just would love to know, I think it's pretty obvious to all of us as to why the post-cabinet briefing was cancelled today. This government actually tweeted this out yesterday. They said a statement on the outcomes of the cabinet meeting will be issued at a later stage. So clearly there's many reasons to why that was.
Yeah, well, see, we should probably get into the sport, because, I mean...
There's a lot happening there as well.
Justice is going to... I hope... Michael, what time is he getting in?
He's getting in at 7.
Okay, so 7... Okay, we might have him in for a while.
I've been debating, because one of the Gupta's sons, Atul Gupta, he's got Twitter. Now, he tweets some inspirational stuff here. He's got like 13,000 followers, but I just can't get myself to push that follow button, but I want to see his tweets.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm going against my country if I push that follow button.
Oh! Look at you,
man. We shall charge you with treason, Flex. Following a Gupta. Speaking of the sport, that's coming up next. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Coming up now.
Right now. What a track. What a tune. Right, so yesterday, before we get into the football, let's just sort of just cool down, chill out just a little bit before we get all heated with the football and the soccer and the FIFA and the everything.
Okay.
Chris Gayle was absolutely brilliant last night. He hammered the English. Now, the English, they were plucky. They were hopeful that their 182 for 6 was going to be enough. See, can you just turn the disco down a little bit? Thanks. You and levels. Wow. Right, so small ground, fast outfield. 182 was nothing but a pass score for England, unfortunately. None of their batsmen really kicked on. I mean, Root scored top scored a 48. Viles Morgan, 27 off 14 at the end. It was spirited. It was cute. But when you chase it, when you put setting a score against the West Indies on a ground that basically says, hit me, you need a lot more than 182. Because Chris Gayle, he just went out there. He looked around the field. He smiled. He stood in his bat a little bit. He hit a few fours. And then, when the game kind of looked like it was getting serious, he just sort of, you know, loosened the shoulders. He ended up with 100 of 47 balls, or 48 balls. He reaches 147 balls. It was the third fastest T20 international 100 ever, behind two South Africans, I may add. And it was easy in the end. West Indies lost a few wickets here and there. The English bowlers tried very hard, but they were just ultimately very crap. They offered nothing, and the naivety towards the conditions, the inexperience, it just came to kind of be proven that England might have a decent batting lineup, but that's quite far down. But you need to know what you're doing in these conditions, and above all else, you need some BMT. Too many loose deliveries, too many wides. Jordan was probably the pick of the English bowlers, but again, nothing too amazing. The spinners did sort of hold play from time to time. But it's like whenever Gayle wants to hit a boundary, it's like whenever he wants to pick up a news reporter, he just does it. He's just such a badass. And it just looks so effortless. It looks like men against boys. It's like, okay, these English boys are going to bowl to this West Indian man. And he looks bigger. His bat looks bigger. Everything about the guy is just big and strong. He's just this towering figure. And, English bowlers, no doubt, completely shell-shocked. They take on South Africa on Friday. So they go from being beaten black and blue by Chris Gayle to now the same's going to happen with AB de Villiers because he's very good in these conditions too, as is Faf du Plessis. Quinton de Kock knows what he's doing here as well. Tough time for England to open up with the tournament. Although I'm saying that, I don't want to overhype South Africa. Anyway, that game's tomorrow. We'll get to that then. Today's game is Afghanistan versus Sri Lanka. That is a match. I'd love to see Afghanistan win. These are the guys, of course, that represent the associate nations, as they are called, which is just a very nice way of saying minnows. And Sri Lanka, without all the sort of big stars that you can remember, Angelo Matthews is their big match winner there. But let's give me a very even match. So today at 4:00 South African time. Last night, Champions League football. What a match. FC Bayern Munich versus Juventus. Now, it was 2-2 after the first leg, which was played in Italy. Then they went to Germany, and after not many minutes at all, Juventus were 2-0 up. They were 2-0 up, and they stayed 2-0 up until the 73rd minute, which had them at 4-2 in aggregate, right? The match ended 6-4 Juventus on aggregate. On the 90th minute, Bayern scored a goal. They took it to extra time. And then, in extra time, they scored goals in the 108th and 110th minute. So, out go Juventus, last year's finalists. Boo-hoo, sad day for them. Because, you got to keep asking yourself this whole way through. All these matches are good and well, but who's going to beat Barcelona? So, you don't get too sympathetic about who loses. Because is the team who wins actually going to do anything anyway? Now, Barcelona, they are just the world's best team right now. Their front three of Messi, Suarez, and Neymar are just incredible. And they all just combined again yesterday. They sort of breezed past Arsenal 3-1. That's a 5-1 aggregate score. So they go through, as do Bayern, as do Wolfsburg, PSG, Benfica, Real Madrid, Man City, Atletico. Yeah, and those are your teams for the quarterfinals of the Champions League. Any of your favourites in this, yeah?
Just say Real Madrid.
Real Madrid.
Ah, very good. Okay.
David Beckham played for them.
He did indeed.
Thank you.
He did indeed.
Got
right.
1 point for that.
So, FIFA.
Oh, yes. FIFA Gate.
Now, as you know, FIFA have a new president. He's Swiss. He's bald. But this one isn't bald, Swiss, and corrupt, apparently. So, FIFA got this whole new plan. Like, they were so low. Okay. The corruption was so bad that, like, the ANC were blushing when they read. ANC would talk about FIFA and they would go, yo. So it was so bad that they have got to really turn things around. And one of the things is they now want all the bribes paid back.
Okay. All right.
I know. It's a noble gesture because I tell you what, that money's gone.
It's not coming back.
if they want to have a history and how difficult it is for people to pay back the money, just come here. Mm. Just come chill here for a bit and see what happens with Nkandla. That money is gone, okay? So what Infantino and FIFA are saying is all that money is football's money and it must go back to where it's meant to be. So this is basically on the back of confirming that South Africa paid $10 million to get the 2010 tournament.
Yes.
That isn't even hearsay anymore. That's not even a rumor. FIFA said, yes, here we go. Money came in. South Africa spent $10 million to get the bid.
Have anybody spoken about how much money Qatar paid to get the bid?
I think they're taking it a day at a time right now. I think Qatar paid a bit more.
Because, you know, I'm just thinking that very noble gesture to say that all this money Indeed. Must be paid back. But how much money do they think we're talking about here?
See, Mobs, this is the thing about transparency, right? It's a lovely thing. But once you do one thing, you've got to do it all, right?
Yeah.
So if you brazenly just said, yes, corruption, terrible, bribes, horrendous, must be paid back. SA definitely paid $10 million. Okay, cool. Cool. This is this chapter. So when we're done with this, let's actually just tally it up. So what did Russia pay?
Yeah.
What did Qatar pay?
Yes.
You know, these things are going to come into the firing line now because once you open about something, you'll be open about everything. So anyway, $10 million, right? That was kind of paid. And now the big question is, what is happening with people in this country here in South Africa who said, oh, no. Absolutely not. We did not pay a bribe. This is absolutely ridiculous. This is all one big lie. Well, today, 1 o'clock, in the hot seat will be Fikile, Minister of Razzmatazz, Social Media and Good Times, Balula. He will be at Parliament, 1 o'clock, addressing all of this. Now, Neil Collins, who we had on a while back, he sent a really good tweet yesterday. He said, Fikile Mbalula's tagline, number one, never paid $10 million, all lies. Number two, $10 million was for Africa diaspora. Number three, pay Jack Warner, it was his fault. Number four, ban some minions. Because that's how the timeline of this thing happened, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's classic politics. When someone accuses you of doing something really, really terrible, deny. Okay, cool. Right, we got through that week. Next thing. Okay, right. Shit, the evidence is really, really good. What are we going to say? Oh, right, yeah, but it was for something else. We didn't know we were paying a bribe.
Yeah.
We were paying for something else that was part of football.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Good luck. Wait, shit, the evidence is even worse now. Oh, gosh. They found this. Okay, it was that guy. It was that guy. That guy, it was the devil made us do it.
Yes.
Jack Warner being the devil.
The devil made me do it.
And
yeah.
Then when all else fails, I'm like, okay, no, we're really fucked. Okay, you know what? Let's just ban these guys. Let's just throw some people under the bus, and then it's going to go away.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately for Kila and the rest of this crew, no, I'm sorry, but there's just too much hard evidence. There's too many world players involved here. Another great tweet I saw yesterday is that the FBI isn't the Joburg Metro Police. You can't just give them $100 and tell them to go away. The FBI are onto this. There's big shit happening here. There's no way you're going to get away from it. So what does Fikile Mbalula do yesterday on Twitter?
Well, he denied that he was offered... Oh, this is now another thing. He denied that he was offered jobs by the Guptas as well.
Well, there's that. But, I mean... He took the opportunity. I mean, there's all this going on. So yesterday, he basically had a massive tour with Julius Malema.
Okay.
That's the right thing to do.
Yes, you've got to.
And then ended the day off by saying, good night to everyone. Please don't smoke cow dung. It's very dangerous. Here we have an absolute child. A child who's in charge of all these things.
Completely.
A child who's about to address the media today at 1 o'clock. Or address the country, the world, whoever's watching at 1 o'clock. Where the next installment of lies, I mean, the ANC spin people, they've had to take on new agencies. They must have. There's no way two or three people can do this job anymore. Oh.
So don't smoke cow dung.
Don't do it. It's bad for you.
Okay.
Let's get back to actual football, right?
Okay.
Because I tell you what, this story's not going to go away. It's like Donald Trump. It's just here. It's going to be forever.
I'll tell you what,
you're going to have more and more juicy tidbits coming out of it. So today, 1 o'clock, get onto Twitter because that's the best place for it. I'm sure it'll be on TV as well. But from 1 o'clock today, look out for more lies from Safa and our lovely sports minister, who is just such a stand-up great guy. He doesn't smoke cow dung. But in PSL action last night, right, what we were hoping to happen happened. Brasitani, I know you're listening. Maybe this is your prophecy being played out. Wits 1, Pirates 0. Sundowns 1, Celtic 3. Mm. So we were saying that Sundowns are too far ahead. Not enough games to be caught up. But if we get a three-point swing where Wits can get a win and Sundowns lose, then it's back on, right? Well, it happened. So the 4 points is a gap now. So Celtic losing at home to Sundowns losing at home to Celtic, I didn't see coming. I think Celtic have had so many big issues there. They don't know whether they're coming or going with Forrest, who's owning the club. The fans are so upset about everything, and it's not a good time for them. But they put three past Sundowns, and Vitz, well, they're just not going away. They're pulling a bit of a Leicester trick here, 1-0 over Pirates. So the unfortunate thing is, the next time these guys are in action is all the way on 13th of April. And there's various breaks that kind of just punctuate this whole PSL season, which is unfortunate, because right now it's a fever pitch when you think the fact that Sundowns are on the back foot. Vitz are thinking, okay, I can smell blood here. We can totally get in here. 4 points the gap. Now, they've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 matches left, okay? If you look at the sort of rundown, I'll write a blog post about this, so I haven't got enough time to get into it. But what happens is, if these guys can stay neck and neck, this is where it gets really exciting. 11th of May, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Sundowns versus Vitz, at Vitz.
Hmm.
So if this gap can be even maybe 1 point, it can be a couple of points. 11th of May, the second last game for these two in the season. Oh, wow, fireworks. So as a neutral, you're just going to kind of hope that Vitz can stay in the hunt and do something really interesting towards the end. If you're a Sundowns fan, you're thinking, let's just finish them off with a couple of wins. 4 points the gap. All to play for. It's really, really exciting. And finally, before we get to Anthea, we'll have another sort of review of the weekend tomorrow. But Super Rugby for the weekend. So a quick little look here, because I know you're trying to plan your weekend around things. Friday, tomorrow, Hurricanes versus the Force, 8:35. Waratahs versus the Highlanders, they'll be at 10:45 all these times, South African time. And then Bulls versus Sharks, we've got a big Friday night derby, which is really, really exciting. And that'll be a nice little thing to watch kind of after the cricket, really. Well, it should be contending with the cricket, because England are playing SA at 4 o'clock. Saturday sees the Sunwolves hosting the Rebels, that'll be at 6:15. Crusaders versus the Kings are on the road. I mean, you got to wonder how these guys are travelling. They've got no money. So, I mean, they're definitely not flying business class. I mean, are the Crusaders players putting up like in a high school tour? These are serious questions. These guys have no money. You know, expensive hotels. Like, they're touring with like 40 people, 30 people, whatever it is, because it's players and replacements and coaching staff. That's a lot of air tickets. It's a lot of hotels, a lot of dinners.
Isn't that where the sponsors come in?
They haven't got any.
Oh.
Cheeky, lying motherfucker Watson was meant to bring in a 200 million rand sponsor. And he brought in nothing, so yeah. If you watch these guys play, look for the logo on their shirt.
Yeah.
They've got this jersey which looks like a court jester's outfit. And they've got like they've got the kit sponsor, that's on their shoulder, but there's no sponsor on the jersey.
Shame, man.
Like, you look at all the other teams, they're sponsors. We're rich, we're cool, we're a professional team. Kings are like, shit, can you give me a ride home? I'd love to.
Listen, I'm going to be in town next weekend. Can I crash at your house? Because they can't afford to put us in a hotel.
Hey, Karen Reed, can I
stay at
your place?
I'll take the
couch. Yeah, I know they're under administration from Sari, so Sari's probably covering the basic cost of these kind of things. But
Ouch.
Doesn't exactly give you a lot of confidence, does
it? No. Show your loyalty. How much do you support us? Put us up at your house.
Yeah. Airbnb, King's Edition. Please help us. Right, Reds versus the Blues. That's after that match. That's 10:45. Lions versus the Cheetahs. The cat fight, as the press will call it. That's really interesting, because Lions have been away. Pretty good run. 2 out of 3 wins there. And the Cheetahs, they were away in Singapore last week playing the Sunwolves. Got to back the Lions there. And then final match of the weekend, you see the table-topping, all-conquering Brumbies. They'll be at Newlands taking on the stuttering and stammering and mostly blunt Stormers. And that's just not me. That's not me being negative. It's just that with Kurt Coleman at fly half, they're showed against the Storm, the Sharks. Not a hell of a lot going on in their attack. And just that Brumbies team is going to be so hard to contain. And not only that, it's going to be so hard to kind of penetrate as well. And they've got the David Pocock factor there. He'll be over all the loose balls. Stephen Moore, a great player. That front row is really experienced, and they've got a dynamic back line. If the Stormers can get within 7 here, I'd be surprised. So that's the final match on Saturday, 7:15. We'll give you a full wrap of all the other stuff happening tomorrow, but now we need to get into Anthea, and we need to get into the finance.
Yes. All right, well, we're heading back to 1979 for this, because a listener actually tweeted us and said, hey, listen, here's a little song for Anthea. So, yeah, there's nothing else to say except whoever it is, thank you for this.
And it is courtesy of Pete Duplessis.
Oh, Pete Duplessis. This is like beyond or before all of our times, but here we go. It's Money.
The best thing things in life for free. But you can give them to the birds and bees. I want money.
Okay, the verdict.
Good morning, Anthea.
I must say, thanks, Pete. That brought back some memories.
Oh.
Thumbs up from Anthea. Anthea,
I like that.
Before you start, I must just tell you, because whenever I imagine the rand, our good old South African rand, I picture a typical school playground scenario. Where the rand arrives there, he's already nervous because he knows what's about to happen. It happens almost every day of his life. He gets pummeled and beaten up and shoved into toilets by all the other currencies. And then at the end of the day, he arrives home all battered and bruised, crying. How is the rand doing this morning, Anthea?
I've got a surprise for you, my Mabali. The rand is actually stronger this morning.
Ah.
And who would have thought, right?
Who would have thought, indeed. So how did that happen, or why did that happen?
So yesterday, during the day, the rand weakened all the way to 16.17 to the dollar. I mean, this is incredible because at the beginning of Gareth's trip, so what, a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago maybe, the rand went to 15.03. And yesterday touched 16.17. I mean, the volatility in this thing's crazy. And by the way, Ben, you were asking me about the rand being the most volatile, and I did actually have a look at it. I just forgot to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
So volatility is measured in percentage, and it's just purely a mathematical equation. It's just the dispersion of where it moves.
Totally, like ability to yo-yo. And this
exactly. That's the rand, right? And the rand is, obviously, it's more volatile than the developed market currencies. So, and you have to measure it against something. So if we measure it against the dollar, for example. The pound is about 10% or just below, and I'm talking 90-day volatility. The euro is just above that, and the yen is about the same. And then Brazil and Russia are around the 20% mark, and South Africa is around the 23% mark. The only currency that I found that was more volatile, and obviously I can't go through every single one of them, was the Egyptian pound, which is a bit more volatile than the rand.
Wow, how reassuring. We beat Egyptians.
If we're more volatile than Brazil, like, how is that even possible?
Yeah, that confuses me. I thought we were less volatile than...
You would have thought. Okay, so back to the rand. So last night, Mabali, I was in a meeting when I heard about Jonas stating that the Guptas had offered him the finance ministry job.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, the first thing I do is I check my phone because now I'm worried that this rand's going to blow out. And I honestly thought my app wasn't updating because the rand was trading at 15.98, so below 16. So it was stronger than where it was trading during the day. And, of course, then I have to find out why, because now that's almost inexplicable. But it would appear that traders are speculating that yesterday's announcement by our deputy finance minister could be the death knell for Jacob Zuma.
Hmm.
And so, yeah, so actually now they're thinking, well, this is it, right? He has to be recalled. He's no longer going to be president. And this morning, the rand's trading at 15.66. So suddenly, foreigners are buying our currency again.
Can these foreigners just relax? I mean, they are so airy-fairy with their commitments here. Like, well, one day this, one day that. Can they just give us, like, a couple of months? I mean, especially with Moody's being here.
Yeah, well, I think it's the other way around. I think we need to come to a solution. So can you imagine, if you were a trader yesterday, you would have sold the rand at 16.17 and bought back at 15.66 and made yourself, what is that, 30, 50, 61 cents per currency that you traded. So I don't know. I think the foreigners are loving this because, well, the traders, I tell you what, the traders are loving this,
you know,
because that's when they make money on volatility.
It almost ties back to Michael's easy, where's the easy money at claim. Because if it's so volatile like this, it's all about just sitting there and watching the rand. It's like a game. You're timing it.
There are people that do that. They're actually called scalpers, which is not a great word.
Yeah, I can imagine the bottom feeders of your game, sure.
Yeah, the intraday traders who are just buying and selling on every little tick.
Anthea, let me quickly ask you about the Moody's analysts. Apparently, they were due to arrive yesterday. Have they, in fact, arrived? What will they be looking at? What will they be doing you know, observing this whole thing unfold?
Well, Bali, apparently they did arrive yesterday. I can't confirm. But I'm hoping that the Treasury will just inundate them with papers and plans and accounts, because they'll be looking at our accounts. They're numbers people. You know, they want to see that we can balance kind of our books and our budget, and that we've got a plan in place to actually get ourselves out of the slump that we're in. And that if we say we're going to grow our economy, that we're actually going to do it. Hopefully they're not watching the news, because if they're watching the news, it's a joke, right? They're just sitting there going, what? Like, really, this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So hopefully they're buried under mounds of accounts and papers.
Okay.
And I'm not sure when their decision is. But, you know, Moody's, I'm not really that worried about them. When it comes to Moody's, we're two notches above junk status. It's S&P, Standard & Poor's rating agency, who in June will decide whether or not to downgrade us. And if they downgrade us, we have no room to play, at least with Moody's. If they downgrade us, we're still above junk status. Whereas if S&P downgrade us, then we're in officially junk status.
Yeah,
oh, see, I didn't realize that these credit ratings agencies, like one's rating supersedes another. You know, it almost seems like the one has more clout than another. Is that what you're saying?
I'm saying that they're on different levels.
Okay.
So, you know, they're independent. They don't have to follow S&P or Fitch or anybody else. They can make their own decisions. I do think, just kind of from historically, that S&P is a bit more considered than Moody's, but not really. If Moody's decided to downgrade us by two levels into junk status, I think we'd see a bit of fireworks in the bond market and the rand. But I don't think they're going to do that.
All right. Yeah. It's like every single day we try so hard to find out more, but it's always the bottom line is, okay, so not great.
I know. I'm sorry. Like, I wish I had really good news. If we wait long enough, I promise I'll deliver good news.
Yeah, it'll come, Anthea. That day will come.
Exactly. I mean, the fact that the rand was stronger, surely that's good news then?
Well, no, because, like, somebody in Parliament will fart and it's back to 1620, because that's what happens. And that's where we come to. It's the most volatile country in the currency outside of Egypt.
Yes. Okay, there is a point. All right, well, I tell you what, the stock market, because now we've been talking about the rand and the economy, but the stock market was actually up yesterday. It was up 80 basis points. A very quiet day, though. Only $1.2 billion traded. I think everybody's waiting to see what happens with the Monetary Policy Committee decision today, and also its futures and options closeout. So the derivatives market is going to be particularly busy. Oh, and Ben, I made a mistake yesterday. I thought Naspers was reporting after China market closed yesterday, which would have been during our time today. Yep. I mean, yesterday. But actually, they're only reporting today. So I'll have to give you the Naspers update, or the Tencent, I should say. Sorry, Tencent update tomorrow morning.
That's okay. We forgive you. That's fine.
And then only one company really of interest that reported yesterday, Grand Parade. They released their interim results. They saw a 35% decline in half-year profit. But I think we must put that in perspective, because actually it comes off a fairly high base, because before they'd sold some of their slot machine business. So you can expect to see profits coming down only because they'd had this kind of huge profit boost last year, like a once-off. The problem with Grand Parade at the moment, though, is that they're just not delivering on promises. So, you know, they own Burger King, and they were saying they wanted to open 100 stores by June. They've now lowered that target, and it's suddenly 70 stores or 75 stores by the end of the calendar year, which is June, 85 by the end of the year. And then they're also bringing Baskin-Robbins and Dunkin' Donuts into the country. And they're very ambitious. They want 250 Dunkin' Donut outlets. and they want 800 and odd Baskin-Robbins distribution channels, which to me seems very ambitious.
That sounds hugely ambitious. That just sounds like some suits in a far-off country are saying, do this, do this.
Yeah, I don't see that this would be feasible in our country, though.
But, Anthea, it gets back to what you were saying about the lack of foot traffic as opposed to international countries. That's why these things aren't really as feasible.
Yeah, and actually the Burger King CEO has actually stepped down because I think he wasn't delivering. I think he was very much an entrepreneurial guy, but like kind of didn't get the whole, the bringing a foreign brand into South Africa. You can't just perfectly export it. Mm. It was interesting, though, they did say that they want to make Burger King a bit more South Africa-centric. I don't know what that means. I mean, are they going to offer fry burgers or...
throw some chocolate in the mix there. I mean, who knows?
Exactly.
But that's the thing, is they'll just use token gestures like that and think, okay, cool, we're now South Africa.
But I mean, you already have a chisanyama. You know, we've already got those things, so why you... I mean, how would... I don't know.
Exactly. How does that make any difference?
Any difference really? Whatsoever.
They also said that they don't advertise enough. So if you're driving down the street, on every kind of... a couple of kilometers before a KFC, you will see a sign that says, in 1 kilometer, turn left to the KFC.
Mm.
And that's actually a very good point. They don't have the same advertising or the same marketing or the same brand awareness, interestingly enough.
Right, Michael, make a note. Talk to Neil. We need to contact Burger King. Sell them lots of advertising. Huge amounts. Basically, we're going to use Anthea's model of KFC is doing it really well. You guys must do that too.
Yeah. Pick up your game. Then the share is trading at about a 40% discount to some of the parts valuation. And we do like cheap shares. But the problem, of course, is that there's no catalyst to make the share re-rate. So I think I'm going to stay away from it for a bit longer.
Okay.
Yeah. And then just one thing before I go, Ben. The Fed Reserve had their kind of what our equivalent of the MPC meeting yesterday. And they decided to keep rates on hold. Yeah, they're still undecided about where they think the global economy is going, and they don't think it's growing as fast as it should. So, yeah.
Okay, so that's kind of good news, right?
It could also be why the rand has strengthened, but I think we were expecting that anyway. It was kind of in the price, if you like. But yes, for us, if we raise rates today, then the rand should strengthen a bit more. Of course, if we raise rates, then it's to the detriment of economic growth and inflation and consumers suffering because they're paying more for their mortgages and their car loans. So.
Okay, well, 1 o'clock today, Anthea. You can watch the markets because Fikile Mbalula is going to be addressing the media, basically spinning some crap about how no one has ever paid a bribe. So look for the rand to kind of... flow to that 16 rand mark again with the dollar.
Oh yes,
it's gonna happen.
Oh, the politicians in this country.
Oh, they love it. They like just keep spinning that rand around. All right, Anthea, catch you tomorrow for another Friday edition.
Super. We'll chat tomorrow. Bye. Have a good day.
Fantastic. Right, so that's your finance, that's your sport wrapped up. We've got Justice Malala coming in. I mean, we're going to need the fire extinguisher handy here because he's going to come in spitting all kinds of flames of how beautiful South Africa is right now.
Yeah, have a glass of milk on standby because the burning platform is fired up by Nando's extra, extra, extra hot this morning.
Extra, extra, extra. So what song choices we have got today, Sia?
Okay, so yeah, I will be the one to be blamed if this is not good, but I really, really am loving this song right now. I'll stick it to like urban music, and it is Coldplay with Beyonce. It's a very good song. If you don't like the song, at least watch the music video because it'll make you want to like pack up and see the world. It's a really, really awesome song.
Okay, so we're going to Eat, Pray, Love with Sia Sangweni for
basically
the songs today. Just Malala next.
Unreal. Uncensored. Unradio. CliffCentral.com.